Hello and welcome to The Reducer, the worst football podcast in the fucking world, not just the one that you listen to. So this week it is two of us again, but instead of myself and Mr. Dave Rothney, it is myself and Mr. David Klein. Hello there, Dave.
Hello there. Yeah, we are kind of operating a sort of rotation system at the moment, aren't we?
That's it. Yeah, basically only one of them can bear to be in my company at a time.
And this week, I drew the short straw.
Yeah, and shout out to everybody who knows me. So this week, Rothers isn't able to be with us due to a family emergency. So we wish him all the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thinking of you, buddy. So what we thought we'd do is not so much an 11, but kind of pick up on where we left off with shit managers. Because, yeah. I mean, I don't know, so far in the 30-odd episodes, that's right, kids, 30-odd episodes, actually 30-odd, this is episode 31, I think. Isn't that weird, podcasts at the beginning? First thing they do, always, welcome to episode 148. Who gives a fuck? No and one's counting think, other than you, you twat.
You think by now we've been able to monetize it in some way.
Well, you know, I'm not saying that these people have their podcast monetized. Like,
content is king.
I'm just saying that, you know, every podcast starts with,
yeah.
Oh, welcome to, no one cares. No one cares other than you. And it's usually in the description anyway. So anyway, who cares? Welcome to episode 31. We thought we'd give, it occurred to me over the previous 30 episodes that we've basically given players heaps. We've given players heaps. We've stuck our oar in on them, on fans as well, on broadcasters, on the media. And let's be honest, let's go old school. Let's have a right old pop at those cunts in the fucking dugout. No, not the subs, the managers. Once upon a time, you know, they were the only people who really got any shit. Well, let's face it, we've already given players shit. Do you feel sorry for managers sometimes?
On a human level, yeah. I mean, it's if you're having a really hard time, it's clear it's an absolutely torrid public humiliation when a manager is struggling and suffering. But on another level, I mean, they get well compensated financially and they end up with another club within weeks or months anyway. So they get an opportunity to reinvent themselves and move on.
Well, yes. I have to say, you know, to anybody who's ever been made redundant, that is, it's only happened to me once, but it's hard. It is definitely hard. It can affect your self-esteem, I just think that ultimately, whilst money means that those problems, like, you still need a job. Still love the job, still been told you're fucking worthless and not good enough.
True.
And all of a sudden, you've gone from being out the house like 10, 12 hours a day, all of a sudden, you are absolutely useless to everyone. You know?
Yeah.
Get out of the way at home. And so, as much as I just think that we can be a little, oh, they get well paid, so. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's why I said in the order I did, because ultimately, it's horrible to watch when somebody's going through it. It really, you know, regardless of whoever it is, it's horrible.
Unless it's Roy Hodgson, yeah.
Roy Hodgson.
in which case you'd happily wish him into a ditch every chance you got.
Yeah, I'm just to remind everyone, I'm an embittered Liverpool fan. Still sore from the 6 months he was at our club.
Dave, there's just nobody who feels sorry for you whatsoever. Do you know what I mean? Oh, poor Liverpool fan. No. But I know you're right. You're right. And sometimes when a manager is labouring on, you're just like, now we say on a human level, and, you know, it's horrible to see. And we're both sat here saying that.
Yeah.
But let's face it, there's an exception to every rule, and the exception is when it's your manager.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you know, it seems like a really nice guy. And you're like, yeah, fuck him. Hasn't won for 10 games. Fuck him. You know, and it's like, oh, but he's getting, you know, he's getting abuse at home. Yeah, bloody should be. Look at the football we're playing. You know what I mean? It's just like, I mean, Jesse Marsh, bless him. You know, we did stand behind him for a long time until we decided to push him. And yeah, by the end it was, look, can you just get this purveyor of nonsense out of the fucking club, please? You know, it was the sympathy. I think what happens is when it's your club, is your empathy wears out.
Yeah.
You know, it really does. It did for me with Marsh. And we gave him just over a year, and we just like, we're exactly where we were when he arrived. Apart from, you know, 1 year of, you know, we got to do this. We got to get the players to do that. Yum, 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 yum. And yeah. And by the end, it was just like, oh, just fucking get him out.
Yeah.
You know, but on a human level, I do agree. I think the older you get, this is what really kind of changes your outlook. The older you get, the more sympathy you have. I felt really sorry for Bruno when Tottenham sacked him. And the reason I felt sorry for him was the fact that it was kind of obvious from the minute he arrived that nobody wanted him to succeed. Don't get me wrong. I think Spurs fans did. I think Spurs fans were like, well, you know, as a fan, you're like, whoever gets the job, just win some games and everything will be all right. And it was just like, if any manager ever was given a job where you just thought, well, like, that's not going to last. He ain't going to work. It was Bruno.
Yeah.
You know, and he was dignified and, you know, even when he went, it was just, you know. But and then they got Conte, which was just hilarious.
Who was before Bruno? Was it Mourinho?
God, I nearly said Pochettino. How out of date am I?
No, it was
Mourinho,
Wow. God, they've been through some managers, haven't they?
They have. This is going to turn this. If we're not careful, this is going to turn into a what is the problem with Spurs episode?
I think as well. What doesn't help the modern coach manager is the fact that, you know, media now is just so demanding on players and anyone associated with the game and the club. They just want to hear opinions. They want to hear what's going. You know, these. I just look at. I look at stuff sometimes, and it's like pre-match press conferences for just a run-of-the-mill league match. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. But you can see managers, even I've seen Klopp sometimes get a bit irritated, and it's you can see that these are what make and break players. The media is so, it can be so influential in terms of putting managers into pressure situations. And so for Conte, he's obviously very, very upset and emotional in that moment after the Southampton game. And so to be sort of put in that situation facing people and having to account for himself and the team, I just think it was just a bad situation. Everyone knows. It's like, you know, if you're angry about something, don't get drunk and fire off an email. Maybe wait till the morning and see how you feel. And then fire it off. Or not. I'll go, oh God, I'm glad I didn't do that. But I just think, it's the brutality of the modern approach through the media.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, do you know what? I think social media is a bigger issue. I think that is maybe not for managers who tend not to be on social media, which is again a damning indictment of social media. but don't get me wrong, some are, but they're not.
Yeah,
clearly they're not. Clearly they have people managing their social media. But I think, well, look, you know, fucking hell, old man, social media, the evils, whatever, fuck it. You mentioned that you had some managers that you wanted to throw under the bus, slash throw in front of the bus, drive over, and then maybe reverse over.
Well,
and it's not Roy Hodgson.
It's not Roy Hodgson, no. I think, I'm not sure about one of them. I mean, these were just some, I just was thinking about managers that I could remember
and shit Premier League managers.
Had a torrid time. Yeah, shit Premier League managers. So the first that sprung to mind was Tony Adams at Portsmouth.
Oh, man, that is a hell of a shout.
When I think he was like, it was 20 or 18 or 20 games and he won two or three or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember the year now, actually. But he followed Harry Redknapp, who went off to Spurs. Yeah.
I don't think it helped that he wandered around the place with a sense of superiority, quoting French literature. that might have been a bit much for the squad.
Yeah.
To take. But do you know what? The cliche siren is going off. great players don't necessarily make great managers. That's my observation that I've never heard before anywhere ever.
So you class Tony Adams as a great player?
Fucking hell, yes.
He's a great player.
Without doubt, great player, shit manager, and you've hit pay dirt there, mate. Now, I don't know if I'm being fair or unfair, because you know some would say that. By the way, I'm going to pick up on something. Right, first of all, the person I'm getting to is Jim Smith.
Oh,
Jim Smith, who now?
Oh, no relation.
Now, definitely not. Does he? I don't think he predates Premier League. I think he was at Derby.
Yes.
I think he wasn't. He wasn't taking Derby down with the worst points ever. That was Paul Jewell.
Yeah.
So he gets a shout for being, you know, on the list as well. But yeah, Jim Smith. Now the thing is, I don't know. I think he did take Derby down. I'm not really not sure. Do you know what? This is classic. Yeah. This is what you tune in for, folks.
No
classic
research.
Yeah, classic reducer. Is the guy shit or not? I'm going to say he is.
Can we remember things or not?
Well, I don't know. I do. I just remember him being not great, and he was at some poor clubs with some poor results. But I did say I was going to pick up on something, and that was that. You know, when we go like historically, going back to someone like Jim Smith, I was really surprised that the last episode the three of us did together.
Yeah.
I don't know about, Rothers had, you know, thought sort of Neil Warnock was a sort of beloved, decent manager.
Yes.
And you were of a sort of similar opinion. And I was, listening back, I was amazed at how out of touch the two of you were. I mean, genuinely, like not having genuinely sort of listening back. I know listeners who the fuck could do that. You have to listen to it once, enough, right? but listening back to it, do you know what it sounded? It sounded like two guys who support teams who are in the top four and are completely unaware of how that has also broken them away from footballing reality in the rest of the league. Because Neil Warnock is not beloved by anyone, and his football fucking stinks and always has. But you know, to someone like me, who's spent 16 years in the Championship and only been back in the Premier League for three seasons, this is fucking known, like, by everyone. Where would you have to be in the footballing world to be ignorant of this fact? Right at the top, that's where. Right at the top. Yeah, no, and it's just one of those things. But it is, you've got no idea, mate. You've got no idea, rummaging around in the Championship for 16 years, honestly. Anyway, I've gone there, haven't I? I brought Leeds 16 years in the Championship up. I apologise. Ding, ding, ding. Back to at what we were talking about, round two. So I'm throwing out there, I'm throwing Jim Smith out. You said you had somebody else as well.
Got two others, yeah. It's similarly, similar sort of record, and former player, former teammate, England teammate of Tony Adams, Paul Ince at Blackburn.
Oh, Blackburn.
Blackburn.
Is he at Blackburn?
I think he won two or three in 17 matches, 17, yeah. 18 matches. Terrible, absolutely terrible. And it was, and as I recall, it was everyone else's fault.
Okay, well, let me follow this up. So, Dave, why do you think there are so few black football managers now that you've slagged off Paul Ince?
Well, I think for starters, they're probably not attracted to it.
I was really hoping that you were just going to fucking panic, but you've totally taken it on. Go for it.
Yeah, I just think they're not encouraged, are they? I mean, they get a bloody tough, torrid time as it is on playing, you know. So the notion of putting yourself in that window of abuse from thousands of people at your own club if you're having a bad time, you know.
Is that any different for white managers? Do white managers not get
abuse?
No,
it isn't. Well, white managers don't have the racial component to deal with.
True, absolutely.
So, which is ridiculous, as we know. It's like, I mentioned Harry Kane missing the penalty against France. Nothing to do with the colour of his skin. Nobody said you white, whatever.
Yeah, I know, but you know, yeah, racism is racism. Unfortunately, it's as old as human beings. You know, it's as old as look at that tribe over there. Let's go fucking put spitters in them.
Well, in answer to your question, I think there's an institutional thing there going on. They're not probably encouraged to, or don't fancy the additional burden.
Institutional racism, and you think it's weird because it's not something you can see. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, racism is something you see. You see racist abuse. You see, you hear it. You see it on social media, etc., etc. Institutional racism is much more insidious, and it's like and that is where it takes.
Well, it's cultural.
It's
a culture. Yeah.
And that is basically now, you know, right. No. Leave him off the list.
Exactly.
Let's just look at these five lads. But and I don't know why I did that in the Northern accent, maybe because I'm originally from up north, but that wasn't meant to be Northernist whilst we're talking about it. Anywho, fucking hell. Right. OK, I tried to drop you in the shit there. No good. Well dealt with, by the way. That was a rip snorter coming right up into your ribs. That was. And you did say you had.
I've got a third manager, and I heard somebody mention it. It was a Chelsea fan mentioned him, and I went, "Hang on a minute, I think you're being slightly unfair there." Luis Felipe Scolari, who had such a hard time at that club. You know, we're talking. It was a World Cup winner when he went to Chelsea.
Well, look, I think you're right when you say like it was a Chelsea fan, and yeah. I agree. Because I think if we're talking shit managers, a manager who's won the World Cup and is basically getting drummed out of the club by a bunch of elitist players.
But he was regarded by Chelsea fans as a shit manager. I just had a discussion with a Chelsea fan. He went, "Oh, Scolari, every day of the week." I went, "Wow, okay." So I did do a little bit of research, and he won 20 out of 36 games.
Yeah.
That's more than 50%.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, well, he's gone on to be successful elsewhere as well.
Yeah, exactly.
He'd have been successful there that season if they'd allowed him to stay any longer. I mean, he was gone in January and he only arrived in the summer, didn't he?
That's right. But he was. I remember he was getting a hard time in the press as well.
Well, yes, but basically the players are down to, certain players are down tools.
Mm.
And you look, you know what it's like. The press know when there's something wrong, when there's something behind the scenes. That isn't quite right.
So what I'm saying is it also a perception of someone being shit when the reality is the opposite?
I think there is definitely, you know, someone's face doesn't fit.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, the classic is George Graham at Spurs.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's...
And even though he's the last manager to win trophy for Spurs, was...
Would you remember best they could do was sing Man in the Raincoat's White and Blue Army? that's what they'd sing,
right?
I mean, they were never going to sing George Graham.
No.
And the danger of that is the minute it looks like going wrong, all the fans change. And I mean, you know where I'm going with this. Rafa Benitez at Everton.
Yes. Absolutely.
It was never going to work. Yeah. It was never going to work because the minute things start going badly, everything is amplified way more than is necessary.
So in a similar vein as well, just I did say three, but technically
let's keep going.
Well, it's similar to Scolari, because I spoke to a Liverpool fan friend and he said Souness, and I went, no, I wasn't having it. Souness, he won the FA Cup. We were like,
he won the FA Cup at a time when you were shit.
Yeah, we, well, in transition, we were shit. But
well, Kenny, hang on. Kenny Dalglish's last signing before Souness came in was David Speedy.
Yes.
And I think Graham Souness's first sale of a player was David Speedy.
Yeah.
I mean, all of us went, Liverpool have signed David Speedy? You're fucking kidding me. Then
they said, the same person said he tried to destroy the culture of the club. So he's trying to move away from the boot room culture and all that and bring in sort of new training methods. Well, oh, you mean training methods he learned when he was at Milan?
Well, but that's incorrect. He didn't. He broke up the culture of the club.
Yeah.
But what he did, you know, and he had to turn it round after it had kind of gone stale under Dalglish. But he had Ronnie Moran that was his assistant. That's absolute rubbish.
I know. That's what I said. That's what I said.
But the boot room continued afterwards as well.
I totally agree with you. And that's what I was trying to say. I don't know where this, that's what I'm saying about it's a perception that someone is shit, when in the reality, and it's like, where does that come from? It must be just fans sort of chatting amongst themselves.
But also with Souness, I remember, I mean, if you remember, I mean, here's two, how to make your life harder as a manager with players you sign. Graham Souness, brilliant. Yeah. So he comes in, you know, and everyone's sort of wondering about him. He's coming from Rangers, you know. He's essentially coming to clear the decks. And he clears the decks, fine, but who does he bring in? A couple of his new signings early doors. One is Julian Dix, which is never going to impress Liverpool fans.
No.
And purely because of what he'd done to them, Michael Thomas.
Oh, yes.
I mean, fucking hell. Talk about football. Football's not a popularity contest. No, it isn't, Graham. But fuck me.
But to be fair, he did redeem himself. Scored the winner in the 92 Cup final.
Oh, yeah. But what I'm saying is, Souness. Do you know what I mean? Making his life harder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With his own signings. Unbelievable.
So that was, they're my kind of thoughts and suggestions.
Yeah, they're not shit though, are they? Do you know what I mean?
Two of them are. two of them are questionable.
I was sort of thinking, is Steve Bruce on that list?
He's all right, isn't he? He's all right, Steve Bruce.
Well, I think he's better. He's like a next generation. He's like Neil Warnock 2.0. It's like he'll get you out of the Championship, and he'll most likely keep you in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. You won't do anything exciting, no. Whereas Warnock will get you up and then get you straight back down again. But yeah, I don't think he's, you know. Oh, hang on! I've just had a brainwave. Here's one. Nobody understood it at the time. Remy Gard at Aston Villa. Fucking hell, where's that come from? Pulled that one right out of my arse.
Yeah, yeah.
Remy Gard at Aston Villa. Deary me. So, a little more on Jim Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Jim's last job in the Premier League, if they were in the Premier League, that is, he was at Portsmouth from 91 to 95. That was definitely Premier League.
Yeah.
And he was in the Premier League with Derby 95 to 2001.
Yeah.
So there you go. And from then on, and it's weird how this happens as well. He was, you know, he was like the main man. He was a manager, main man, from 1969 to 2001. So that's 32 years. And then he had positions at Coventry, Portsmouth, Southampton and Oxford.
Wow.
As assistant manager. And that does happen, doesn't it? It's with some managers, they're like, they are managers. And then they go, and I'll tell you, I've strolled into this. I'll tell you what does my head in. Like thinking of the managers who managed one season in the Premier League or one or two in the Premier League, and people went, these guys, you know, this guy's a serious manager. He's going to be around for a while. Do you know what I mean? He's done really well. And then never heard of again. Danny Wilson gets Barnsley up. Everyone's like, oh, but, you know, great young manager with a really interesting, fucking never does anything.
Yeah.
You know, they've done so well to bring him up, you know, and they're playing this exciting brand of football. And then you never hear of the manager again. So we had Danny Wilson.
Yeah.
At Barnsley, you know, a player who comes in, does one season, disappears. Paul Jewell, who brought Bradford up, if you remember.
Yes.
And everyone was going, oh, like, wow, you know, he's done really well. And they went down, oh, never mind. And he stayed in the Premier League with Derby and managed to break some records with them.
Yeah.
With Derby, unfortunately. But I often wonder about these managers who literally had one or two seasons in the Premier League and then just seemed to be George Burley, Ipswich.
Oh, yeah,
and they're
yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, they're, yeah. they were playing great football, you know, first season in the Premier League, you know, they were in Europe, and second season, either relegated or bloody close to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, managers who get a crack in the Premier League and everyone raves about them for, like, you know, a season. And then, you know, one day you just sat there going, hang on.
Yeah.
What did they ever do? Where did they disappear to?
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. You suddenly think, or some manager pops up on an interview or somewhere like that. And you're like, oh, bloody hell, that's where he is. I thought he'd retired. It's like hearing Emmanuel Adebayor has retired from football. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that ship had sailed a while ago, actually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Although, speaking of which, we can't, you know, we're a football podcast, so we're obliged to mention Messi or Ronaldo or both at least once an episode.
Yeah.
So Messi's just gone past 100 goals for Argentina.
Yeah.
And Ronaldo's just gone past the record international appearances.
Yeah.
We're really going to miss those two, aren't we? I mean, when I say we, obviously, I mean, you know, football in general, but you're going to miss those two.
Yeah, they'll take some replacing, but I'm sure other greats will come along in time.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I'm not going to tire of hearing about from mates, kids, and things like that. I'm not going to tire of hearing facts about Ronaldo, Messi, like how many goals they've scored here, or how many goals they've scored there, or even more impressive as to how many cars they've got, or how many houses they've got.
Yeah.
Which that seems to be incredibly relevant as well now.
Yeah.
But hey, however people are getting into football, you know, from no matter what generation they are or why they're getting into it, better to be into football than anything else. That's what I say. Well, that and heavy metal, obviously.
Yeah.
So with that rather strange conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you again for joining us all on the reducer. Thank you, David, for popping in.
My pleasure.
And thank you, listener, for listening. Ta-ra.